Good morning, everybody. I'm John Raby, sitting in for Larry Mantle on Air Talk. We're just getting word out of Rome that the number of people in Italy infected with the new virus from China, the coronavirus, increased 45% in the last day. The number of deaths grew to 10. Now 322 confirmed cases of coronavirus in Italy. In just about 45 minutes here on Air Talk, we're going to get you all the updates on coronavirus, but we're also going to focus on whether we're ready for it here in Southern California and what steps you should take to prevent getting infected. So that's coming up as Air Talk continues here on KPCC. When Richie Jackson was coming of age as a gay man over 30 years ago, he lived in a country where marriage equality, HIV prevention drugs, widespread media representation of LGBTQ people did not exist. Then he had his own son who came out to him when he was 18, and that started him thinking and writing, and the result is his new book, Gay Like Me, A Father Writes to His Son, a collection of cross-generational insights on gay history, raising kids, and a lifetime spent as a gay man in the U.S. Parents and kids, we'd love for you to join this conversation, 866-893-5722, 866-893-5722. And now Broadway television and film producer Richie Jackson joins me now to talk about his new book. Hi, Richie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We're delighted to have you on Air Talk. First, will you sketch your family unit for us? Tell us about you and your husband and your two kids.
So my husband, Jordan, and I have two children. Our older son is now 18, and we have a three-and-a-half-year-old baby boy.
Oh, nice. What's the 18-year-old's name?
Jackson.
Jackson. The book is addressed to him as a letter from a father to a son. Why did you write it this way? Why is a letter?
So when our son was 15, he told us he was gay, and I was elated. I wanted him to be gay. I hoped he'd be gay. It was my greatest wish. And then he said, "Daddy, being gay is not a big deal. My generation doesn't think it's a big deal." And I thought, oh no, being gay is a really big deal. It's the best thing about me. It's the most important thing about me. It's been the blessing of my life. And I didn't want him to grow up to be one of these people who demeaned it or diminished it by saying, gay doesn't define me, I just happen to be gay. If he made it matter of fact, he would not take full advantage of the gift that it is, and he would break his own heart. So I started to think about all the things I needed to share with him, about what it means to be a gay man. And as I was doing that, Donald Trump was elected, and he brought with him to Washington Mike Pence, and they have declared war on the LGBTQ community. They are more of an imminent threat to our son than ISIS and North Korea. Now I had to warn him, just as he was leaving our home to go to college, about what it takes to be a gay man in America. And that was the impetus for the book. I sat down to write him a letter.
Yeah, to write him a letter. And I like the idea of a letter, too, because it's something you can read once and put away and then return to, or maybe he's not going to look at it for 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, so, as a parent, I'm well aware that sometimes we put the lessons at our children's feet, and they pick them up when they're ready for it. The thing about a letter was it was such a narrow lane that I could not smooth over anything. I couldn't edit out anything. It would have been an academic book had I done it that way. As a letter to him, I got everything I had to say out. I feel at peace that he's leaving our home. And I've left nothing unsaid.
Yeah. And maybe you hope that he'll read it at some point.
Well, he started college, so he was giving Plato and Aeschylus, and I gave him my book, and I got put aside for Plato.
That's great. Can I ask you how old you are, roughly?
Yes, I am a rough 54 years old.
Oh, okay, I'm 53. So we grew up in the 80s and the 90s.
Yes.
We were gay in the 80s and the 90s. Remind everybody what was going on then, what it was that you were processing.
Right. So when I was, I knew I was gay since the third grade, and it always made me feel lucky. It made me feel special. And it wasn't until I got to New York to go to NYU, and I went to NYU to come out to be gay, that I realized how marginalized we were. There were no out politicians. There was no out movie stars. There was no representation, no visibility. There were no rainbows. There were no very few laws protecting us. We were fighting to be seen. We were completely marginalized. And at the same time, it was the beginning of the AIDS epidemic,
right
when I moved to New York.
And your parents, what if you felt special being gay, what were they like?
So, you know, I thought it was, I thought I was special. And when I was in high school, I hadn't told my mother I was gay. I hadn't told my father. I had not told anybody. And one day my mother came home from seeing a Broadway play, and she said, "I bought tickets on the way out to take you. I just saw this unbelievable play with this incredible actor who's also the playwright." And I knew it was a big deal because we didn't have money to buy tickets at a box office, and certainly not to see something she had seen before. And she took me to see Harvey Fierstein in Torch Song Trilogy.
Oh.
It was the first commercial success for a play about a gay person and the first comedy.
Gee, I wonder why she... Why did she buy you those tickets?
Right. Well, it's truly extraordinary given that nobody was talking to my Long Island mother about gay people in 1983. She had no gay friends. She had no gay coworkers. It was her own humanity that had her take me to see this play.
No, I'm saying she must have... she didn't know?
She knew, and she used a Broadway play as a crystal ball to say, this could be your future. And the character Arnold was the first gay person I ever met. At the end of this play, the mother has a huge fight with Arnold and says, "Had I known you'd be gay, I wouldn't have bothered." My mother takes me to dinner after the play and says to me, "You know, if you ever came home and said you were gay, I would never react like the mother in that play." So that gesture always made me feel safe. I didn't tell her that night. I wasn't ready to, but she made me feel safe by taking me to this play. And then my father, when ultimately I did come out, was not as understanding and as accepting as my mother.
Yeah. We have a comment from Rex from Palm Springs who says, "I'm a gay dad. We have adopted a gay son when he was 13. He's going to be 30 this year. It was a lot of fun, a lot of work. I think the most important legacy I want to leave is just being a really, really good role model." Good for you, Rex. We're going to talk more with our guest when we come back. This is Air Talk here on 89.3 KPCC. It's about 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. You're listening to Air Talk here on 89.3 KPCC. I'm John Raby, sitting in for Larry Mantle. My guest is Richie Jackson, author of Gay Like Me, A Father Writes to His Son. I've got more questions for you, but Bink writes on the Air Talk Facebook page, you know, he refers to a comment you made at the top of our segment. Why did you want your son to be gay?
Well, I wanted my son to be gay because it is a gift. It's been the blessing of my life. And everything good that has happened to me is because I am gay. And I wanted that blessing for him. The other thing is, I could not imagine parenting with any self-esteem at all if every day I prayed he'd be nothing like me. How could I parent if I was praying, "Please don't be like me, please don't be like me"? So my husband and I have two children. We raise them to be themselves and to be all of themselves. And we are raising them with good self-esteem and resilience. So whatever each of them will be, we hope they will be it fully. But I did want him to have the gift that I've been given.
But if your 3.5-year-old turns out to be straight, Wouldn't it kind of be a burden on him to know that you really, really hoped that Jackson would be gay?
The entire structure of the universe is built for straight, white, cis men. Yeah. I don't think that would be such a burden that I wanted his older brother to be gay.
Okay. Well, but I was just asking whether he'd... Go ahead.
No, he knows that my husband and I have one parenting philosophy. You parent the child you have, not the child you thought you'd have or you thought you wanted. So if our younger son is straight, we will create the environment for him to be self-confident, have empathy, have resilience, and our whole job is to build a long enough runway for him to explore and expand all his ideas and interests.
What aspects of gay history are you worried could be lost?
Well, I certainly think that we're not teaching our LGBTQ youth any history in their classrooms. Less than 7% of LGBTQ students get any inclusive sex ed in their classroom. So we're erasing our youth. And the thing about LGBTQ history is it will embolden our young people to realize they're not alone, that it will empower them to feel like they are a part of a long continuum of extraordinary individuals. Could you imagine sitting in an elementary classroom when we learned about the I Have a Dream speech? Had we been told that Bayard Rustin, a black gay man, organized that march that Martin Luther King gave that speech, that would have been extraordinary. So I think we need to teach our history for that reason. The history of AIDS and the epidemic and what my generation, the generation before me went through, that also has to be imparted to our young people, partly to know us better, to know, and I talk about this in my book, you know, I want my son to understand what I went through, so he'll understand the doom that is still so present in my life, the rage that I hold on to, and the ghosts that occupy a chamber of my heart. I also want him to know how the government imperiled us, because I believe the government is on the war path with us now, and how we fought back and acted up against the government in the 80s is what is required now.
Love to hear from our listeners on this. 866-893-5722. Share your stories with us. 866-893-5722. My husband and I just went to New York, and after dinner with friends, who just happened to be a lesbian couple in Greenwich Village, we went to a bar, and that bar just happened, we were close to Stonewall. And so we went in, and it was exactly like any other gay bar. It didn't feel historical. They didn't have, I didn't see it anyway, history on the walls. It was a place where people could just come and hang out. We went upstairs to see a very funny drag show, but there was no weight of history in the building. And we thought, well, that's kind of a good thing, right? Isn't this the future that we want for LGBTQ people, is to be able to just go and hang out and not to always have to worry about legacy and the burden of history?
Well, I think you can want to hang out without the legacy and the burden, although I do think a group of gay people hanging out together is, that community is really important. But, you know, one of the things I feel strongly about is our liberation, our freedom, when we, you know, cannot be to get to a place where being gay is not a big deal. When you think about LGBTQ people, we're marvels. We disappoint our parents. We're at battle with our government. We're stigmatized by religions. We're bullied in our classrooms. We're bullied in our childhoods. We're erased in our classrooms. We've survived a plague, and still we rise, come out, and say, this is me. That is the spirit of an extraordinary species of people. I don't want our liberation to diminish that. it can't be that when we become free, when we're no longer at battle, when we have all the rights that we deserve, to then be able to say, well, being gay is not a big deal.
Yeah. You just celebrated Pride for the 50th anniversary of Stonewall, and you have some pretty good thoughts about that. And we have just a couple minutes left, so I'd like you to tell us about that.
Yeah, so in New York, there were two events for Gay Pride. There was the 50th anniversary Gay Pride parade in the afternoon, which was a celebration of the anniversary of the Stonewall riots. And it is, you know, a wash of rainbow color and hashtag love is love. And there are tons of corporations and floats and dancing and music. But it doesn't have the rage that the march is used to, and it certainly doesn't have any of the protest of all the things we're going through right now. But in the morning, there was the Queer Liberation March that was no corporations, very little police presence, very few rainbows, much more fists waving than flag waving. And it was all about protesting this riptide of hate that's coming at us. And so I went to both, and I realized that one isn't doesn't have primacy over the other. Together, both are a full queer experience and a good way to celebrate Pride.
Yeah, but people need to know their history. It doesn't matter, gay or straight, you need to know your history.
Well, it makes you feel less alone, that it emboldens you, and it makes you also be able to fight back so, you know, things don't happen the way they did before.
Richie Jackson, thanks very much for talking with us. Please, in 5 years, check in with us to let us know whether Jackson actually read the book and what he thinks.
I'll bring him with me.
Okay. Richie Jackson is
the
author of... Sure, absolutely. Is the author of Gay Like Me, A Father Writes to His Son. You're just listening to the very end of the first hour of Air Talk today. I'm John Raby, sitting in for Larry Mantle. Another whole hour coming up. We're going to talk about the possible death of Betelgeuse, that star that is like the left shoulder of Orion up in the sky that might be going nova, or maybe not. In any case, it happened 640 years ago, whatever did happen. And we're going to start off the hour by giving you a preview of the Supreme Court cases that are coming up very soon. This is Air Talk here on 89.3 KPCC.